Have you ever been, just drowning in data, maybe a huge spreadsheet or just piles of notes, and you get that feeling, that nagging sense there's something important hidden in there? A pattern, maybe? And you just wish you had a quick way to find it, like asking, okay, how many times did this specific thing happen? Or how many of these fit that rule?
Oh, absolutely. That feeling of needing a shortcut, a way to just grasp the key information quickly.
Exactly. Well, today, that's what our deep dive is all about. We're looking at a really fundamental idea in software development that helps with exactly that. We're talking standard algorithms.
Yeah, and standard algorithm might sound a bit formal, but it's actually a really practical concept. Think of them as pre-approved recipes almost.
Recipes, I like
Yeah,
that.
like sets of instructions that are really well tested and efficient for solving common problems you run into all the time in computing.
Yeah.
They're standard because, lots of people use them, they work well, and they form a kind of universal toolkit.
Okay, a toolkit. I get that. And in this toolkit, we're zooming in on one specific tool today, right?
Precisely. One that's incredibly practical, super widely used. Count occurrences.
Count occurrences. Sounds straightforward. So our mission for this deep dive is to figure out what it is, why it's such a big deal, how it actually works, and how you actually use it in code.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so let's start with the basics. Count occurrences. What is it fundamentally?
Well, it pretty much does what it says on the tin, It's an algorithm, a process designed specifically to count things.
The counting.
Well, yeah, but systematically. It counts how many times a particular item shows up in a data set. Or, and this is key, how many items in that set meet a specific condition you've defined.
Okay, so not just how many apples, but maybe how many red apples.
Exactly. It's that condition part that makes it really versatile. It's like a digital tally counter, but way smarter and faster.
And why does that matter so much? I mean, counting seems simple.
But think about the scale and speed. Imagine a teacher, right? They've got maybe 20, 30, maybe more student grades. They need to know quick how many got an A, how many got a B, C, D, F.
Right, like in that task 3B from the King's Park booklet you mentioned, where you actually program it to take 20 grade entries and spit out the counts for each letter.
Precisely that. It automates what would be a tedious manual count. Or think about analyzing experimental data.
Like simulations.
Yeah, or like in that programming challenge, generating 100 random dice rolls. You could list them all out, but what you really want is a summary. How many times did a one come up? How many twos, threes, and so on, up to six?
Oh, okay. Count occurrences would just whip through those 100 rolls and give you the frequency of each number.
Exactly. It helped you spot patterns, understand the distribution is the die fair. Are certain outcomes clustering? It turns raw data into, well, actual information really fast.
So it helps find the story within the data. Okay, I see the value, but how does it work? What's the actual step-by-step logic? Is it complicated?
Surprisingly, no. The core logic is quite elegant, actually. It boils down to iteration.
Iteration, like looping.
Exactly. You basically step through your collection of data, could be an array, a list, whatever, one item at a time, just methodically visiting each piece of data.
Okay.
And for each item you look at, you perform a check. A simple question. Does this item match the specific thing I'm hunting for? Or does it satisfy the condition I've set?
Like, is this grade an A or is this number greater than 50?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, if the item matches or meets the condition, then you increment a counter.
Increment.
Just add one to it. You start a counter variable at zero before you even begin the loop. Then, every time you get a yes on your check, you bump that counter up by one.
And you do that for every single item in the list?
Every single one. You iterate through the entire collection. Once you've checked the very last item, you stop. And that final number sitting in your counter variable, that's your answer. That's the total count.
Check, increment, repeat. It does sound simple when you break it down.
It is. That's the beauty of many standard algorithms. Simple core logic, powerful results.
And you mentioned conditions. That example from the King's Park pseudocode, counting numbers above 50. Let's walk through that. Say we have an array like 23, 76, 45, 71, 98, 23, 65, and so on.
Okay.
So you'd start a counter, let's call it above 50 count, at zero.
Right.
Then you look at the first number, 23. Is it greater than 50? No. Counter stays at zero.
Okay.
Next is 76, greater than 50, yes. So above 50 count becomes one.
Yeah.
Then 45, no, counter still one. Then 71, yes, counter becomes two. Then 98, yes, counter is three. And you just keep going through the whole array like that.
Exactly that process. Step by step, check the condition, increment if true. By the end, Your above 50 count holds the total number of elements that met the criteria.
It really highlights the flexibility, doesn't it? It's not just for finding exact duplicates, but for any kind of conditional counting.
Absolutely. And that's crucial. Is a value within a certain range? Does a text string contain the specific word? Is a transaction amount above a threshold? The same fundamental loop check increment logic applies. You just change the question, the condition, inside the loop.
That adaptability makes sense. So, okay, we've got the concept, the logic. How does this look in, you know, actual code when you sit down to type it out?
Right. Moving from the idea to the implementation. Let's take an example, maybe like the count countries function mentioned in the higher CS materials.
Okay, count countries. What's the setup there?
Imagine you have data structured as records. Each record represents a city and contains details like the city name, maybe its population, and crucially, the country it's in. You'd likely have an array, a list of these city records.
So, Carrie, like in the example, an array of city records.
Exactly. Now, the function's job is to count how many cities in that array belong to a specific country. So, first step, usually, is getting input from the user.
Asking them which country they want to count. Like, type in France or Brazil.
Precisely. Let's call the country they type in country to count. Then, inside the function, you initialize a counter variable, maybe country counter, to zero.
Standard starting point.
Yep. Then comes the loop. You iterate through the care, probably using an index, index 0, index 1, index 2, and so on.
Visiting each city record one by one.
Right. And inside the loop, for each index, you look at the current city record, specifically at its country field. So you check if careindex.country is equal to country to count.
Ah. So if the country field of the current city record matches the country the user asked for,
then you increment country counter. Add one to it.
And if it doesn't match, you just do nothing and move to the next city.
Exactly. You just continue the loop. Once the loop has gone through every single record in carry, it finishes. The final step is then to output the result.
Print something like country to count appears country counter times.
Perfect. And what's neat about this example is that it shows counting within structured data arrays of records, which is super common in real applications dealing with databases or complex objects.
That makes a lot of sense. And it connects directly to practical tasks someone learning this might do, right? Like that task 3B we mentioned earlier, counting the A's, B's, C's, and student grades. That's a direct application.
Absolutely. You'd likely use multiple counters there, one for A, one for B, etc. And inside your loop, checking the input grade, you'd increment the corresponding counter.
Okay, so one loop, but multiple if or case statements inside to check which grade it is and update the right count.
You got it. Same core principle, just extended slightly.
And what about something like task 9, problem 1C from the Kings Park booklet? That involved setting up a record structure for animal's name, endangered status, continent, lifespan.
Right. That task itself is more about defining the data structure, getting the organization right. Setting up the container, so to speak.
But once you have that structure and maybe an array filled with those animal records,
then count occurrences becomes the tool you use to query that data. You could easily write a function to loop through your array of animal records and count how many have endangered set to true.
Or count how many animals are from the Africa continent.
Exactly. You define the condition based on the fields in your record structure. Setting up the data correctly is the first step. Count occurrences is often the next step to actually get insights from that organized data.
It really clicks together. And for learners, you mentioned differentiation. Starting small seems key.
Oh, definitely. Don't jump straight into arrays of complex records if you're just starting. Begin with a simple array of numbers. Count how many times the number 5 appears.
Get the basic loop and counter logic solid.
Right. Then maybe try a condition. Count how many numbers are greater than 25, like the differentiation suggests. Use smaller arrays first, maybe just 10 items, so it's easy to trace manually and see if your code is working correctly.
Build up the complexity gradually.
Exactly. Master the basic count, then the conditional count, then maybe counting within records. It scales nicely.
Okay. So as we kind of pull this all together for this deep dive, the big takeaway seems to be that count occurrences. Well, it looks simple on the surface, but it's actually a really powerful foundational algorithm.
It truly is. It's the bedrock for understanding frequency, for spotting trends, for summarizing data. You're systematically checking and tallying, yes, but the insights you gain from that simple process are often profound.
It lets you cut through the noise and get straight to how many or how often.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental skill, not just for programmers, but really for anyone wanting to make sense of information in our data-heavy world.
Couldn't agree more. It's one of those core computational thinking patterns.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Now that you kind of get the idea behind count occurrences, how might that change how you look at the data you encounter every day?
Yeah, think about it. Your social media feed, how many posts are about a certain topic? News articles, how often is a particular phrase used? Online shopping, how many products fit your specific filter criteria?
It's happening everywhere.
It really is. And knowing the basic logic of how you could count those things, even if you're not writing the code yourself, gives you a different lens. It encourages you to ask critical questions about frequency and patterns.
To move beyond just consuming the information to actually analyzing it, even informally.
Precisely. What patterns might you spot if you started consciously asking, okay, wait, how many times is this actually occurring here? What unexpected insights might pop out when you apply that simple, powerful question?
It's definitely something to chew on. Instead of just seeing a flood of data, start looking for the counts, the frequencies. You might be surprised what stories those numbers tell.
Absolutely. It's a fundamental way to start making sense of it all.